Since tonight is duct tape night, I thought we would talk about duct tape. To tell you guys a little bit about the truth about duct tape, what is duct tape actually for? Do you guys know what it's for? Go ahead. For duct work, right? Okay. Duct work is, the vents in the back, right, that are up there, there's this metal stuff that makes air go through it, and that's called duct work. That's the most I know about it. If you would like an extensive talk on duct work, James will be available for you afterwards in the back, after the break, he's doing a seminar on duct work tonight. So, actually, what's funny is the truth about duct tape is that you're right. It was originally created to keep duct work from leaking and stuff. But what's funny about it is that is actually the one thing that it stinks at. It's terrible for that. In fact, it's so bad at it that the government actually put out a thing about it. There's an official government report on how duct tape doesn't stack up to its original use. And this is what it says. Our major conclusion so far is that you should use anything but duct tape to seal ducts. We've defined duct tape as any fabric-based tape with rubber adhesive. The testing we've done so far shows that under challenging but realistic conditions, duct tape fails. And that's the website I got it from. It's like a .gov, so I mean, like, it's real. You know what I mean? It's the honest truth. Like, the government tells you, if you're doing duct work, this is not good. And there's, like, pictures of, like, rotted, that were on there, like, rotted, like, areas where the duct tape was, where it didn't work, because when it gets moist and stuff like that. Actually, my dad was telling me that the air went out in the temple this past Sunday, and, like, it was a million degrees in there. And to be honest, duct tape is part of the reason why. Up in the stuff up there, like, it was sealed with duct tape, and because that wasn't working right, something screwed up with condensing and some other big words that I don't know, and some things of how stuff works up there. That I don't know. Duct tape helped it to not work. So yay, duct tape on that one. But what's funny is that we use duct tape for a million different things. I came up with over 200 ways that duct tape can be used that are not for duct work, which is interesting because that's what it was originally created for. Here's 105 of them Yeah, is that tough to read right there? Yeah. That's all I could fit on there. So, like, you know, yeah, fix broken book binding, Band-Aid for really big cuts. Some of these are kind of funny, but actually work. I like toilet paper. Like, how's that work? And James will not be doing a seminar on how duct tape can be used as toilet paper. Let me say that. Yeah. Hold batteries in a remote control, we've done that one. Stick pictures up in your locker, fix holes in your shoes. 94, I like 94, graduation present. That's what you're getting. Graduation present, number 94. I'm giving duct tape. If you graduate from now on, from here, you're getting duct tape from me. That's 105 of them. Here's 100 more. I like toilet seat cover. Make a wallet chain. Home security system. That's a good one. What's that? 206. No need for lunchbox. Just tape all your food together. There's a lot there. What's funny is, actually, you're thinking, okay, this is kind of weird, talking about all these different uses for duct tape and how many things you can do with it. What's funny is how in the Bible there's actually a couple of things that sort of relate to this whole issue of duct tape being something that what it was originally created for, what it was originally made to do, it can't do, and it can be used for so many different things. I mean, you know, a Superman cape or a Buckeyes jersey, you know? And both of those things I don't think were on that list. But let's think about how many uses there are for you as a person, for your life. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there, and if not, we don't have any duct tape Bibles tonight. Should have, but I'll put the verses up on the screen here for you. It says, in view of all this, listen, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a million uses for people. God could have done and does do a million different things with all of us. And when it comes to our purpose in life and why he created us, you know, we can do anything. But I guess my question to you is, what is God intending to do with you specifically? Not necessarily the you of the youth group, but with you specifically. Are you looking at your life and maybe the choices and the decisions that you're making in your life, and you're just treating your life like it's duct tape, in that you're using your life for anything and everything but what it was intended for? And when it comes time to fix things, you just duct tape it. You don't really fix it the way that you can fix it, by looking to God, by looking to his word, by looking to your creator, the person that created you, and thinking about what his original intention is for you to be. Or are you just, you know, taping up book covers and hats or whatever? Or are you really seeking for what God originally intended to do with your life? Or does it not really matter? Because I'm telling you right now, when times get tough and things go down the tubes and things aren't going right, duct tape will only fix it for so long. The ways of the world is only going to fix something for so long. God doesn't duct tape stuff at all. That whole method of, you know, we'll just duct tape it and fix it. You know, like this chair over here, actually, I think it's this one. Some of you have probably sat in it. The seat was like off, you know, like if you sat in it before I mummified it with duct tape here. I think Lexi got caught in it or something the other day, which of course it was Lexi, you know. But like the seat comes off and you just kind of whoop, you know, right down through it. But I taped it back on, and like this thing, you can sit in it now. In fact, a few people did, yeah. But the duct tape's, I mean, like it's holding it on there, but it's not at all like it was. You know, because one, it's covered with duct tape. But it's functional. It still works. But it's not like it was. You know, I really should have turned it upside down, took a couple screws to it. You know, maybe even got a whole new pad for it to put it on there to fix it. It still functions as a chair that way. What in your life are you looking at that instead of fixing it the way that you know is probably the best way to fix it? It might be painful. And it might not be easy to do. In fact, it's probably not. God doesn't really promise that anything's going to be easy. But he promises he's there for us. And we get in our own way when we're trying to fix things. We're trying to make things right. But instead of making it right and letting God restore it like it's brand new, because he can do that because he's God, now we just try to duct tape it. The last verse here I intentionally didn't go to. It says, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. We forget the power that we have, guys. We forget that we've been completely cleansed of all of our sins, that God has chosen to completely forget. If we're a follower of his, if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, he has completely forgotten every sin that we've ever done. He has chosen to do that. He's made everything brand new. He hasn't just covered it with black tape. He's fixed it like it was a brand new chair, like it was one of the ones you guys are sitting in right now. He's completely fixed it. And he has those intentions for your life. But he's not going to show you your purpose. He's not going to show you that unless you're willing to see it. He's not going to force anything on you. We're not robots walking around. If you look at the very first verse here that we started in, verse 5, it says, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Until we make the effort, guys, until you make the effort, you can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped, right? If somebody doesn't want to be helped, you can offer help all day long, all day long, all day long, just beat your face into the ground. You might as well, because you're not going to get any further than that. If somebody doesn't want help, they're not going to get helped. If there's something that you're struggling with in your life, and you're like, man, I know I need to fix this, I know I need to fix this, but you're just trying to fix it like this, it's not going to get fixed. It might get temporarily put back together, but until you actually get God involved for him to restore and make things new, it's not going to work. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work. He wants it to, though. He wants your purpose in life, and he wants things in your life to be better. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He knows the plans that he has for you. But he's not just going to tell them to you until you're ready to hear it. And if you're here tonight and you don't even have a relationship with God, you don't even know what I'm talking about necessarily as far as letting God fix your problems. The first problem you got to fix is maybe you don't even know God. Maybe the problem in your life, the thing that you've been trying to duct tape, is that God-shaped hole right in the middle of you that you don't know how to fix. My connection point for tonight is very simply this. Don't miss God's plan for you. Let him use you for his original intention. God has an intention for your life. He has a plan, a design for your life. His word says that. You just read it. But we get in our own way, and we try to fix it, and we try to make it our own. You know, as much as I like my duct tape Buckeye jersey here, it doesn't make me any more of a Buckeye football player. In fact, it really is kind of sad. But the thing is, if you're just trying to duct tape that God-shaped hole in your life, and God's not in there, it's never going to really be filled. So I want every head bowed and every eye closed here tonight. Everybody. I want nobody looking around. And I want this to be a time where I know we're having fun tonight and being silly with the duct tape and all that stuff. But I want you to really think about your life. And I really want you to look at your purpose in life. We're getting ready to go on a mission trip, some of you. What's your purpose for that trip? Why are you really going? Is it for your own reasons? Is it for your own selfish reasons, possibly? Or is it because you feel like that's the purpose God has for you, that he's called you to do that? That he's called you to go down there and to minister to the kids down there and to the people down there? Or maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship with God at all, and that God-shaped hole thing that I was talking about really kind of makes a lot of sense. And you need to get right with God. And you know that things aren't gonna get better until you do. And until you make a conscious decision to do that, it's not going to happen. So I'm going to give two sort of invitations right now. I want everybody with their head bowed and their eyes closed, nobody looking around, nobody looking at me. If you don't know for 100% that you're going to heaven when you die, if you don't know for 100% that you have a relationship with God, I want you to look me right in the eye right now. That's all you got to do is just look up. And as soon as we make eye contact, you can look back down. Nobody will see you. But I would love to talk to you and show you in the Bible and introduce you to your Creator so that you can get that right. The second thing I want to do for everybody else, maybe there's some things going on in your life and you've just been duct taping them. And you know you need prayer, and you know you need a little more than what you've been putting into it that the world's been telling you. You can come up and talk to me about it afterwards if you want, but you don't have to. I want you to look at me. If there's something in your life that I can just pray for you, I promise I won't come and get you to talk unless you want to. But I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for you specifically and by name. And we need to be able to pray for each other, guys. That's what the list is for. That's what a body of believers together is for. God, I thank you so much for each and every person that's here. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. God, that you don't duct tape our lives. God, that's something that is man-made and that we try to do. Lord, we try to fix things and we try to make stuff right and we try with our own methods, and God, it just doesn't work. Lord, help us to drop our pride, to drop our whatever standing in our way from you, from listening to you and following you in the way that we need to. God, I don't know every situation that's going on in this room, but I know there's people struggling with stuff. God, I pray for them all. Lord, that they would look to you, Lord, and look to each other, look to us as leaders if they need help and there's something that they just can't get out of. God, we love them and we're here for them and we want them to know that. So God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time that we've had. Thank you for the food that we're about to eat. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.